Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 69 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 8th of June, 2011. And joining me, as always, is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Adam, and hello, Disney pop people.
What sort of voice was that?
It's my in-character voice.
Your in-character? What sort of character are you this evening?
A Dutch elm disease.
Dutch elm disease?
I believe it's a type of tree. I get told about it all the time. There's right. Dutch elm disease.
Exactly, yes, I thought it might be. And hello, Craig.
Hello, I am a willow because of the cricket.
Because of the wisp. Cricket. Not as in a small man who drives around forests in a magical way.
Ah, oh, will-o'-the-wisp.
No, I'm talking about Willow as in the film.
Oh, okay, no.
Not him.
Not at all.
Okay. Well, hello, welcome. It's episode 69, don't even think about it. We have got a load of interesting things for you today. A couple of things to start off, we're going to do some news. And then, well, I've just returned from Disneyland Paris, so we're going to...
Sorry,
there we go.
Without any presents.
Had you just started your chainsaw to cut down your diseased tree?
You said we've got loads of interesting things. Then yeah, there's news, and then I'm going to talk for 2 hours.
No, I want to talk
and
about
And then I got in
the...
my car, and I started my car, and I pressed the accelerator, and it moved.
What, the car or the accelerator?
Car. Oh. Well, I don't know with you, to be honest with you.
Could be anything. It could just blow up, actually, and usually. There were some interesting things that came up, and I wanted to talk about them and see what your opinion of it is. While we were there, we looked at some things that sort of happened there that wouldn't have happened in Disney World, and wanted to know whether they're as big a deal as I think they are, or whether it's just me being very silly. And I know you're probably going to say it's me just being very silly, but there we go. Okay, so before we start to any of the news and stuff today, I sent you a song early on today. Have you had a chance to listen to it yet?
Not with the echo. Hold on, I'll load it up now.
He's going to have a listen there. Now, you see, this song, I think, rivals It's a Small World for most annoying Disney song ever created. Genuinely do think it's the most annoying song ever created. Not annoying as in, like, terrible, but annoying as in you can't get it out of your head. And I play this to Zoe for the first time, and she went, I don't listen to it again, I don't like it. And then it just wouldn't get out of her head. And it's a song...
That's something coming from someone who lives with you.
Exactly, yeah. The song is The World Is Something You Imagine, and it's a song that was officially released as the Disney Store song. It was presented by... It's performed by Tori Beaumont and Daniel Boyes. You might remember Daniel Boyes. He was part of the Joseph sort of talent show thing that was on the BBC. And
He was a smarmy one. He always smiled. He looks like the Cheshire Cat.
Yeah, he did Avenue Q afterwards as well. And the music and lyrics are written by Christine Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez, who both...
That's it.
That's the one, yeah.
I like that song.
Right. It's written by the same people who wrote the music for Finding Nemo the Musical. So they're selling it for charity. It's $1.99 from iTunes. You can buy it in store.
You just give it to me.
And it's $1.99. No, you're not...
Yes, please make sure you delete
You're just supposed
that.
To listen to it. For the Great Ormond Street Hospital, and it's $1.99. And what we're going to do is I want to play you now a little bit of the song so you can hear it. And I honestly think it is going to be the annoying, catchy song that's going to replace It's a Small World. So here goes a bit of it now.
Imagine, so let your dreams go on forever. Dance, jump or skip, let your mind travel far and free. The world's big and wide, do things you've never tried. Let your heart be your guide and look deep down inside and you'll see. The world is something you imagine. Dreams are how the world is made. The world is something you imagine. So let your dreams go on parade.
Do you is really odd, because I'm hearing it now.
What do you think?
It sounds very quiet.
It's annoying.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but it's for a great cause, so it doesn't matter how annoying it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So go and buy it.
Let's just give me £2 anyway. I tell you what, I'll give you £3 not to listen to it, because it's that bad.
I've got it here in front of me. I've got it on disc. I bought it when we went out to the Disney store. That it got to number 48 in the UK charts, which I thought was quite impressive. But it is quite annoying. But I'll be pleased to know, on the back of the sleeve for the actual CD, it's got all the words, and there's an instrumental version as well, so you can do your own little karaoke.
Mouse Meets next year.
There you go. It's all part of the Imagination Parade. Oh, yeah, talking about Mouse Meets and karaoke, can I just say thank you to your mouse cast? That's all I'm going to say. Other than that, and they know exactly why, and that's just mean and nasty, and I don't find it very funny. Right, let's do some news, shall we?
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in
with the morning report. Fire away.
So let's move into the news then. I'm going to start us off with the Phineas and Ferb meet and greet happening over at Disney Hollywood Studios. We reported about this happening, then we reported about it being delayed. Well, it is now officially open. It's over by the Mama Melrose Restaurant Italiano, and you can meet Phineas and Ferb over there as they are making their film on their movie making adventures throughout
the
summer.
Can we just point out to anyone listening, please do not go and beat
the
Phineas and Ferb. This is not the views of the Disney Bit podcast, merely the views of Adam Cooker.
Yes, and that's exactly that, yeah. And they open Memorial Day weekend, and they are now available for you to go and say hello, have your photos taken, all those sort of things, bits and pieces. So you can go and see Phineas and Ferb now over at Hollywood Studios. See, nice and quick, nice and simple, nothing complicated. Right, moving over to Epcot. Juz, something about our new band over in the UK Pavilion.
Yeah, I think this is really funny. This is almost Disney trying to go back to where they used to be. Yes, the English Channel, which, is, by the way, is a band over there that plays at UK Pavilion and not the big watery thing that Adam go on and on about later. Essentially renamed the British Revolution, which looks like French but English as well, which is very similar to this word, the British Invasion.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, they're getting rechanged. The group debuted in the beginning of May, and already we're only 4 weeks into it, and they've thought, let's quickly change this to the British Revolution, because no one understands what the English Channel is or has any purpose. So, and besides which, it's not about, UK's not about England, it's about us together, Britain, with Wales and England and Scotland and Ireland and Essex. All coming together.
Canby Island,
little country on its own.
I am so hoping so.
Essex is like the Vatican City.
The Pope would be too happy with that. But no,
the only way is Vatican. See, it's a new program.
They've changed it to be just like the British Invasion. I think it's a better name myself, to be honest with you. I like British Revolution.
Do you not think they've also done it because nobody actually knows what the British Channel is?
About the English Channel, you mean?
The English Channel.
Because nobody knows what the British Channel is. That makes it plain.
Yeah, then I think it's like the Disney Channel, don't they?
The British Channel is a dodgy channel on Sky. Do anybody know what the English Channel is if they don't live in England?
I think, as Dunks has said quite rightly, you actually think of a TV channel.
Yeah, you do, that's true. So, English Revolution.
The British Revolution.
British Revolution. Oh, man. What is going on? So, they're going from the English Channel to the British Revolution, which is very close to the British Invasion. So, does a revolution come after an invasion?
It's the music revolution.
Is that what it is?
It is. And probably you'll find all the T-shirts are still the same, just the last word changed.
Someone's been there with a permanent marker.
Sewn on with a patch.
Someone sat there. Cross that right underneath that. That's all fine. Okay. I suppose if they're going to change the name, it's not going to change their music. There seems to have been a bit of a mixed reaction for these guys, though. Have you not sort of heard that some people have said they're really good, some people aren't as impressed as they are? Nick, I think, recently said how he doesn't think their music choice is as good as the British Invasion was.
I think they should go back to British Invasion. I think it suited the area better. I like the music more. I think they're going to change. Do you not agree, Donks?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, just because they might just get different personalities or whatever in the band. But, yeah, the show is the invasion.
OK.
The Brits are invading, and it should be that.
Talking about music invading Epcot.
Oh, look at that.
Go on.
Seamless. Dave. Well, do you know what? This is my...
You're in the seamless bit now, haven't you?
Yeah, by going, no, that was seamless. Just
that was good. No, well, this is my... My favourite time of year is Food and Wine at Epcot. And what's really cool about Food and Wine is they have the Eat to the Beat concert series, which if nobody's been to before, Disney holds a series of concerts, and they're kind of retro concerts, but they're part of International Food and Wine. They're included with your admission. There is no extra charge. And now Disney have released the lineup, and I love this bit. I'm so glad that I got this today. Now, it's held in the American Garden Theatre. The queues are large, and you need to get there early, but each act does three or four shows a night. So the first one is, we're going to go through all of these. You're going to have fun with this. It's the 30th of September to the 2nd of October, and it is someone that we love.
Tell it to my heart, Taylor Dane.
I feel like Peter Kay tonight. It does get any...
sounds like you've got some really dodgy small tape player.
Yeah, that you bought me. Right, third... I'll stop that.
Oh, so right, professional.
Now, yeah. Right, so the 3rd to the 5th of October is something I've never heard of, which is the 38 Special. The 6th to the 7th of October is this guy.
Oh, really? Is that the song he did?
Yep, John Secada.
I quite like that one.
If you then go to the 8th and the 9th of October, you've got Roger Hodgson, formerly of Supertramp. I think he's on his own. And then, this is going to be great, the 10th to the 12th. Come on, Juzzy, who's this? It's going to be on our 80s show.
It's obviously Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, no!
Billy Ocean.
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, okay.
Backing Billy Ocean.
Well, what's really cool, there's a little... Billy Ocean, right, when he was on Top of the Pops playing this, he had the same synthesizer that I had. That's what I was really... anyway, and then there's a bit of a... The 13th to the 16th, there is a bit of a long run. Making ready for these...
Starship.
People.
Loving Starship.
That's all they ever did, that one song.
Yeah, it was quite easy to find them on Spotify to record these, I must admit. 17th to the 19th of October is Sugar Ray. 20 to the 21st of October is the orchestra starring former members of ELO. Right, so that's quite a weird way of saying it.
So they were all ELO.
Yeah, they were just ELO. Then after that, we go to 22nd to the 23rd of October.
Kieran been learning to play the keyboard.
Shout out if you know.
I have no idea.
You don't know? Oh, you're too young. Jazz, you'll know who this is.
Nick Kershaw.
Oh, so close. It's Nick, like Nick Kershaw,
Bob, but
it's
Howard Jones. Bob. Howard Jones. I should know that because that's the song that I said before I danced my first dance with my wife with.
Oh. Right.
But that was a long, long time ago.
Then we get into the stars of Eat to the Beat. Okay?
Boys 24
the to the 26th. You're absolutely right, Adam. It is Boys to Men, who was... I saw them last year, actually.
Were they good?
They were brilliant. There was three of the original four were there. There was one guy who's refused to kind of go back. There was an argument. I was reading about it tonight. But they were brilliant. Their voices
were
just...
The cardboard cutout just at the side of the stage.
They just had three of them. But the tenor, the guy that had the really deep voice, he wasn't there. But they were brilliant. Their voices were superb. They looked the same. They were very smart. They did all the great songs. Really, really, really enjoyed it. Right, sorry, carrying to voice men. 27th to 28th is Gin Blossoms. Never heard of that. 29th to 30th October is Sister Hazel. 31st of October to the 1st of November is Hanson, and I couldn't find Umbop in time.
Oh,
but
you see, loving Hanson.
You'd love your Umbop. And then, 2nd to the 3rd of November, you get a bit of... A drum beat. Go on.
Ah, the drum beat.
You know what? I don't know. Oh, I do.
Come on, listeners, put him out of his misery.
Oh, please, put him out of his misery. Just kill him.
Who is it?
Pointer Sisters.
That's it.
4th to the 6th of November is Night Ranger. 7th to 8th of November is Air Supply. 9th to the 10th of November is Richard Marx.
Should I think of Richard Marx? He has some good songs out, I can't think.
Waiting, I think his song was, wasn't it?
Because he's from something, isn't he?
Richard Marx, yeah. And then the last one is Big Daddy Voodoo Daddy, Big Bad Daddy.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, right, okay.
Richard Marx, he was that, Jazz. He was, oh, who was he in? What band? Hold on. La 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 la.
He's out of something before he became famous on his own, isn't he?
What is he? Alabama High School.
That's it, Alabama High School. That's where I remember him from.
From childhood, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look like him at all. So anyway, I'll find out later on when somebody else is doing some news. But there you go, Eat to the Beat concert. If you go, you've really got to try and see it. I think it's a great part of Food and Wine.
And the motto of the story is always give that bit of news to Juz because it takes half as long.
Do you know what's annoying me is the fact I could have just clicked on the link to have read them and answered the questions correctly, and I don't know why I didn't think of that.
You got the link.
That's very true. Oh, well, never mind, forget that. Right, let's go back over to Juz. I saw it said food and wine, and I thought you were probably the most qualified person to talk about this. So what's going on at Swan Dolphin?
Just keep talking, because I was looking at Richard Marx. I didn't think it was coming back to me.
That completely got you.
Let me just check my newspapers here. Wassup. Oh, yes, it's the Swan and Dolphin bit of news that I found. It's basically the Swan and... This is such a mouthful. Food. Walt Disney World, Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic, which has got to be an acronym that could come down.
No.
Returns for a second year on Friday, October the 7th, and Saturday, October the 8th. Funny enough, they follow numbers straight after each other, consecutively. Anyway, what it is basically the second year on the run. It was a massive hit, so you can actually go down to the Swan Dolphin Food and Wine Classic. Anything with food's good. They're selling packages at the moment, so you don't have to do this, by the way. This is just a idea. You can actually get a package that includes event passes and room accommodation for $255 for two adults. Adam hasn't sent me the cost of how much it is just for event passes. But if you want to go and check it out, it's got a really easy address. And do you know what? We were playing around with iPods yesterday because we were playing around with changing some of our websites to mobile websites. And I looked at this and I thought, what am I paying for that to key in? The actual website to find out about this is www.swandolphinfoodandwineclassic.com. Had they not thought that someone might own an iPad, iPhone or something, and they're going to have to type all this in? And if they've got very fat fingers like me, it's bad enough just typing Yahoo. But no, if you want to check out swandolphinfoodandwineclassic.com.
I've just done that and it's taken me forever just to do it on the keyboard.
What a stupid idea of a name. Someone sit down with these people and go, let's come up with something that's a bit snappy. They've gone, let's not call it Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic. Let's just call it Swan Dolphin Food and Wine Classic.
Yeah, it's sort of, I suppose, you know what they've done it. They've done it because it links in with obviously what's going on in Epcot, but they could have come up with something shorter.
Easy, www.sadf.com. Swan and Dolphin Food.
Sadf.com. Sounds like some sort of Russian millionaire.
sounds like a disease you get when it's winter. What's up with you? Oh, I've got Sadf. Aw.
You Sadf.
Oh, and that's the clean bit gone off the podcast now. Right, okay.
Not as bad as last week's radio shows.
Oh, no. Hey, Nick. taking to that. That was a bit of a Freudian slip, wasn't it? Craig, is it going to interest you, this Swan and Dolphin thing?
No. I'll go to the main Food and Wine Festival, thank you very much.
Okay.
Tell us
what you think, Craig. Don't mess around.
I like the main one. We had this last year, and I remember, you know, Juz was going to sing the domain name. I don't think he's brought that single out yet.
Has he not? Still not done that?
Did I say that last year? Did I have a go at the domain name then?
Yeah, I think you probably did, actually. And they've still not listened to you, and they've done exactly the same thing. So, you know, you obviously need to sing that a little bit louder.
We've been doing shows for too long, I guess.
We really have been doing the show. We're coming up to our third anniversary.
When do we disband? When does Yoko come along and I decide that's not my route I'm going in?
I'm a judge on the X Factor. That seems to be what happens.
Is that exactly what's going to happen? Okay, we'll wait for that to happen, and then we'll talk about it.
You'd be a good judge.
That'd be great. Gary Barlow's been really mean, apparently.
Brilliant.
I told one girl and she looked like a bloke. I don't know.
Excellent. I look forward to that. Right, let's jump on a plane then, shall we, and fly over to Disneyland Paris. And we've got a few bits of news from over there to share with you before we move on. Firstly, last week, on Wednesday the 1st of June, a brand new Earl of Sandwich opened in Disney Village. It's the shopping and entertainment district of Disneyland Paris. It's only the second location ever to be opened in Europe, what with one in the centre of London opening only 3 weeks before. And it's the first ever location to open in France. It's a very contemporary-looking building, a huge amount of glass on the front. I was lucky enough to go and sample it on opening day, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a little while. But it's got a modern/old feel to it. One side has got basically a wall full of bookcases, which are full of all these books that aren't real. And the other side's very much a contemporary style. The food, the menus, that sort of stuff are very similar to the sort of stuff that you would get over in the US. Slightly more expensive than it was. But if you want to find out more about it, you can head over to DisneyBrit.com. There's a load of photos over there. Plus, there's a video of a tour of the restaurant on opening day as well, but it's all there for you to enjoy now. It's open every day from 8:30 a.m. to fairly late into the evening, dependent on the opening times of the parks, etc. But do go over to that. Have you guys checked out photos, videos, that sort of stuff yet?
No, I'm going to tell you a story about Ella Sandwich, though. True story.
Go on.
Right, today I was a bit convoluted, but I'll get to the quick version. I was chatting to an old friend of mine who's coming over from overseas and wanted to take me to lunch in the city, and we were discussing places, and we typed into a little site places to eat near Ludgate where I was going to be that day, and the Earl of Sandwich came up, and I thought, that can't be the same. So I've clicked on the website, and it's exactly so. And I had no idea that they're just like a posh subway chain. And then I looked into it a bit more, and then in Disneyland Paris, they're twice the cost of they are in England.
Indeed they are. They are very expensive. Well, I say very expensive. Compared to a lot of stuff, they're not expensive. But, yes, they are not the cheapest things to buy. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you can go over and check that out. They're doing breakfast. It's open from 8:30. So, Craig, some rumours about some exciting developments to do with the 20th anniversary for Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, they're going to close it down and move it to Spain, where it should have been 20 years ago.
There we go. And anything else that's real?
Yeah. Who said that isn't real?
Oh, sorry, yeah, it is real.
I don't tell lies. I tell my kids, don't tell lies. I don't tell lies. Right, but as the year progresses, we are going to find out more and more about just what Disney have in store as part of their celebrations. Actually, you're not going to find out anything, Adam, because they're not going to tell you anything. You're going to find out via DisneyBrit.com, your main source of information for Disneyland Paris, because Disneyland Paris marketing are about as useful as a chocolate teapot. But they're going to, you know, do the Jack Sparrow stuff I mentioned on the other show a couple of weeks ago. Another rumour is about the fireworks. Okay, since 2008, Disney have produced the Enchanted Fireworks Show every summer, and it is again expected to return in the summer. But could it be the last, as rumours suggest a new show will be played as part of this special year? There is no news yet as to length, music, or even regularity of it, but it is going to have fireworks in it. So as soon as we know, go to DisneyBrit.com and you'll find it there.
There we go. It's about time they had a new fireworks display. Do you think Disneyland Paris should have a fireworks display all year?
Yeah.
Because I look at when we were there last week, the park were reasonably busy. There was enough people around in the evening to watch the fireworks. I suppose the biggest difference you have is the park doesn't open till late all the time. It was open till 7 o'clock. It was still daylight when we left the parks in the evening. But it is a shame that it doesn't have anything evening-based to keep people in the parks and enjoy it. I do always think that that's one of the things it misses, that evening entertainment element.
If it was closed, they should still send a couple of rockets up the castle at night time just so you can see,
Or could they not even do it in Disney Village?
Do you know what I think they should do? It's what I've always said. They should do it on the lake and have stalls around the lake. They sell you some margaritas, they can sell you hot chocolate.
You can get on the lake.
Like Disney.
And like an illumination.
Around the lake. And it's away from the parks, and that would just be, you just make so much money, and resort guests could sit in the bedrooms and watch it or whatever. I just think it's a money thing waiting to be used, and they're not using it. Hotel New York could have New York food outside, whether it's hot dogs and stuff like that. You have Newport doing, let's say, clam chowder and stuff like that outside. You can go and buy. You can have theming around the hotels with their food coming out.
You have hit it on the head, director of marketing.
I like that idea, you see. The other thing is, if they do it outside of the parks, are they going to then stop people from buying tickets to go into the parks to watch it? I suppose they're going to be there. They're going to have paid for the day ticket anyway, aren't they? So it won't make any difference in that sense. It's not.
You could have a reserve space and you could have a VIP section for perhaps, you know, people who've gone. Let's say you go to Walt's during the day. You get, if you've been to Walt, you could go to the VIP area, viewing area.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You probably find that Disney are already doing it, just not told anyone yet.
We know that they can do fireworks around there because they do it every year for Guy Fawkes Night, the bonfire night. So it's not as if they've not got the structure, infrastructure there to do it. I would be interested to see if they could come up with something like that.
And it could be a European thing. You know, you've got illuminations on the lake there. Why not do something which is all the countries or something, you know, European with the music, with the fireworks type thing.
See, I like
With France sinking at the end, Napoleon being trashed.
No, it'd end with the French national anthem and a little white flag coming out the middle of the lake.
Okay, that sounds good. Right, final piece of news then. We're heading over to Belgium, which is a strange place to go for Disneyland Paris, but there's something interesting going over there this summer.
What, they're making waffles?
Yes.
Can I just say I don't get this?
Okay.
I know it's my piece of news, but I don't get it, so I'm not really sure what it's about. From what I can gather from reading, and there's a lot of words, so that doesn't help. And there's not a lot of pictures.
Not a lot of pictures.
But I don't... Okay, am I right in saying this piece of news that I obviously investigated myself and wasn't sent by Adam?
Hmm.
Are they building sand replicas of Disneyland Paris that people then just look at during June to September?
Yeah.
Why?
Every year they take a theme and they do something different. I can't remember what they did last year, but this year their theme is Magical Moments Festival and Disneyland Paris. So
why?
People are going to be out, because this is a festival they have every year. They have a sand sculpture festival in Blankenburg every year, and this year they decide they're going to theme it to things found inside Disneyland Paris.
Okay, anyway, there's this festival in Belgium where they do sand stuff and they theme it to something different every year, and this year it's going to be Disneyland Paris. 300 square metres of it from June to September. And then you can go and look at these sand replicas rather than actually going to the park itself, which isn't far to the right if you stood in Belgium facing that way, to your right. But no, you can actually pay €11 or €9 or €7 to go and look at bits of sand, and I still don't really get it.
So you're not up for this, then?
I just don't see the point of it.
Sand sculptures, if done well, are really good. Do look really, really impressive.
If they were cupcake sculptures, I could understand it.
So basically you're...
Waffle sculptures.
Well, what if Mr. Hoogemiflip walks through and just kicks all the sand in people's faces?
We can't, because they obviously block it off, so you can't walk through it.
So are they going to... Do they make it out of sand, in which case the rain will kill it, or are they actually adding something to it and they're really concrete?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because rain destroys sand, doesn't it, in that game?
I would guess
rain,
they cover it up, do they not?
Concrete. How do they cover
it? Do you mean rock, paper, scissors?
That's my new game. Concrete, sand, rain.
Concrete would win every time, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't work. No, that
I work in Liverpool. I win all the time. Oh, you've got me again.
This is the game Juz played with his kids when they were younger. But he was only allowed to have concrete, nobody else.
Yeah.
Right, I'm sorry, did you get this or is it just me?
No, I don't. It's bonkers. It's just bizarre. I don't understand it at all.
You're just miserable, the pair of you.
No, we're not. We're just not clever enough to get it.
Yeah. Perhaps it's beyond us.
That's what it is. Intellectually, it's beyond you.
If it was made at Hot Dogs, and me and Craig would be there going, no, it wouldn't, because they go, here's Disneyland in Hot Dogs. Oh, my God, they're eating it again. Main Street gone. Castle gone.
Right, okay. That might happen. I'm leaving this. Okay, there's the end of the news,
like
then.
It's like Cheetah being made out of pretzels.
Yeah, okay.
I do not get these.
Listen, thanks, Ryan Orlando, for that one. Well, there you go. That is all of the news. And let's move on, shall we?
Columbus Vacation Villas. Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world. Every day, a new beginning. Every night, a brilliant end. Discover the wonders of Epcot.
Right, so the bit where those two are going to start snoring and moaning and just making very silly noises because...
between me and him.
Well, we're going to talk about my trip last week to Disneyland Paris. There's some things I want to talk about with you with regards to some of the elements of it anyway. Because there were some elements that I just looked at while I was there and I just got really annoyed with. And it was annoying the fact that I had a really great time. It was one of the great trips
we had. What was it? The fact that Harry
was with me, yeah.
We've got to listen to this bit. I thought he was just going to do it afterwards and we could go.
You kept turning around. There was a little child following you.
It was like,
it started to annoy me.
Who are you? Go away. Leave me alone. I don't know who you are. No, it was a really great trip, but there were a few things that I wanted to talk about that annoyed me. Now, you guys were talking earlier, before we started, about me going in the car.
Yeah.
And you think I'm a bit crazy.
Well, just for the time, I mean, okay, it's a quantity of time and cost. There's three of you, so, yeah. It's 75% of what the cost it is for me, and, you know, Jazz has got to pay even more. But I would book it to get the train for 50 quid each return, so I would pay 200 quid for the train, and frankly, that's... For me, that's worth it for the 2 hours it takes me. But you're coming from, you know, the middle of nowhere, or wherever it is, Leicester.
Yeah.
But it just seemed to me to take an inordinate amount of time to get from Dover to your hotel.
It takes, from my door to the front of Disneyland Paris' door, it takes about 8 hours in total, which isn't far off. It was probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half more than it would take if I was to go by train, because at the time of leaving my house, getting the train to London or whatever, taking the car to London, getting to the train station, waiting, getting on, the travelling time and all that sort of stuff. There's not a massive amount of difference in time. Cost-wise, there is, but the reason we took the car is because we wanted to have that opportunity to sort of take that leisurely drive down. We wanted the opportunity to see some of the French countryside as we went. It's not the cheapest because you've got your petrol included as well as your ferry crossing, although we got a ferry crossing for £38, went from Dover to Dunkirk, which was pretty good. It is a 2-hour crossing, and as cheap as it was to go with what Norfolk Line they were our DFDS Seaways, I think they're called now, their punctuality was not the best. We were 35 minutes late leaving on the way out, and we were just over an hour late leaving on the way back. And actually, when they got us to the other side and told everybody to go to their cars, they hadn't actually got everything sorted. So we sat in our cars for nearly half an hour waiting just to get out off of the boat. So we were about an hour and a half late getting off of the boat coming back to Dover, which was a bit of a shame. But, you know, we're looking at it again, you know, we enjoyed going in the car, but I think you're probably right thinking that it's probably better to go by train or something like that, because it is a little more convenient. The big thing about taking a car, though, is obviously you can pack up your car with as much as you want, and you don't have to worry about having to lug suitcases through the centre of London, which is a real advantage.
That's true.
I don't know why I went on the boat, that's me. I chunnel it, and there's never a delay. You can get a quick one, you're choof, and you're there.
Yeah, the reason, and then you've knocked an hour and a half off it, haven't you?
The reason purely was the cost. That was the big
thing. Yeah, but though?
We get it for free every time because we collect our Tesco vouchers.
Yeah, okay.
Tesco points during the year can pay for two channel trips.
Yeah, that's fine if you're going to do that.
And if you go for one of the ones in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, I do it straight down there.
Yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning, I'll... That's me.
Well, we did an 8 a.m. We stayed overnight in Dover the night before. Did 8 a.m. crossing. We were in Paris by about 1:30, I think it was, by the time we'd finished and got ourselves across. Which, you know, I suppose, yeah, Channel 8 is going to be quicker, but we had plenty of time. We had a good few days there to enjoy the park, so we weren't necessarily so worried about
It is.
And you've got to put the cost of the hotel at Dover onto your cost of your ferry.
Yeah, that's true, you have.
I didn't stop last time, I went the whole journey.
We didn't have to, we just decided to do that just to extend the holiday a little bit rather than anything else.
I was imagining elephants and stuff by the time I got there, but I did the whole lot.
It is, yeah, I've got to admit, it's not the most interesting drive, by a long shot.
That A doudah in France is boring.
You've got the E15 and then you've got the A1, and yeah,
yes, it's full of policemen waiting to jump on poor unexpected English people.
And you've got SatNav on, and at one point on SatNav, it came up with keep left in 94 miles, and you were just like, oh man, that's a real long way.
The road is just monotonous.
It is, yeah, and it's about 200 miles one side and 200 miles the other side, so it's about average on either side. But yeah, the drive is a good drive, but you know, you make it part of your holiday and it's alright, it's not too bad. We stayed at the Magic Circus this year, which is a place I haven't stayed at before. It used to be the Holiday Inn. It was bought out by Vienna International. There'll be a sort of a proper review of it in the next edition of Mouse Mag. But just very, very quickly, quite a nice hotel. We were lucky enough, and I will put this in now, we were upgraded to a kids' suite.
Freebie.
Surprise.
Freebie alert.
We'd booked a family room. And we were upgraded to a kids' suite, which basically meant that Harry had his own little cupboard, I suppose it is, room, which had a curtain across it, which he had his own television and stuff in there, and we had an area where we could sit and watch the television. We had, like, almost a living room area. Then we had a bed and all that sort of stuff as well. One of the good things I found here that I haven't found in most of the other hotels, and I don't know about Dreamcastle, who Vienna International also own, you've got British television channels, which is a bonus in the fact that, you know, you usually just get BBC World, which talk about rubbish half the day. But because the park was closing at 7, we were coming back and we were putting Harry to bed, it meant that we could actually sit and watch some television in the evening without any issues. I think, you know, we watched most Britain's Got Talent every evening because we were back in time for that. So we watched some of that each evening, which I know isn't, you know, for some people sitting in front of the telly isn't sort of part of their holiday, but it just meant there was something we could do in the room at the time, so that was well worth it for that sort of particular element as well.
And just in a postcard to Adam, are things you can do in the room.
But the trip itself, so my biggest thing about Disneyland Paris is the expense, and I'm going to talk about the expense with regards to food. And I know you found this as well, didn't you, Craig? We'd arrived at the parks, I think we came to the parks about 4 o'clock, and we hadn't eaten. We'd actually sort of skipped a meal, I suppose. We'd had breakfast, but we hadn't eaten any lunch. So we decided we'd have a sort of a late lunch when we got into the park. And of course, the first thing you see when you go down in Main Street USA is
Casey's.
So we thought, you know, it's a tradition to have a Casey's every time we go. So I bought 2 hot dogs. Harry wanted chicken nuggets. We only bought one lot of fries between us. We bought an ice cream and 3 large Cokes. Well, we're not 3 large, they're just 3 regular Cokes, which are quite large. And my shock and amazement came when they decided that €33 it was going to cost me for these. That was for 2 hot dogs, chicken nuggets, fries, 3 Cokes, and ice cream. So which, from the exchange rate we'd got, was £30.
Wow.
£30 just for that. And I just stood there, like, in absolute amazement. I was like, I'm sorry, €33. And we vouched that would be the only time all holiday that we would actually eat in the park. We didn't eat in the park again. We bought, you know, drinks or ice creams, things like that. But we didn't buy anything else at all.
Cheaper to eat at Walt's.
Exactly, I know. It was ridiculous. €33 for 3 of us to have not even a proper meal. It was any sort of a snacky thing as well. For €33, it was just absolutely insane. And that's my biggest thing with Disneyland Paris. Just the cost of things. Everything seems to be twice the price it should actually be. We're talking about a lot of merchandise. We talk about, you know, ride photos for Buzz Lightyear was €21. We're looking at just short of £20 just for a photo.
Well, that's not helping it, is it? Our exchange rate against the euro's collapse.
I know, exactly, which doesn't help at all. But at the same time, you know, this stuff is really expensive. It's unreal just how expensive it is. And that was the only thing out of my whole trip that really put a downer on it, the cost of everything that was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I bought a few Vinylmation. They were 12, yeah, I know, Park 6 as well. They were €12.95 each, so they were just over £10 each, nearly 11, getting close to. Which, you know, we bought some because we wanted to buy some while we were there, and you can't get Park 6 anywhere else. But again, quite expensive. Also, they need to understand about Vinylmation trading in Disneyland Paris, because we bought some of the Park 6. We bought two one day, and I said, Harry, should we buy one more? So we bought one more. I let him choose, and we opened it, and it was the Norway Troll, which is all right, but I wasn't a big fan. So I said to him, shall we trade it? And he said, okay, we'll trade it. So we went up to the woman at the counter and said, can we trade our Vinylmation? And she said, yeah, fine, okay, no problem. And then I said, right, I need to choose a number. And she went, no, come around here. And then she lifted the back off and then just went, which one do you want? I had a choice of 24 that I could choose from. So the trading didn't quite work in that sense. He just gave me a choice of whichever one I wanted rather than actually by choosing one. So I
that's
a
way. Did you get me my road sign then?
No, do you know what? Neither of them were in there. If I'd have seen the road sign, I'd have got it. But I got the Popcorn Mickey, one of the, I think it's Urban 5, I think it is. So he's now on my desk now, sitting here looking at us. So they've got to sort of that out. Now, the biggest thing for me, they're doing a lot of refurbs at the minute. Orbitron's completely down. They're refurbing a lot of the flooring, sort of as you come through from Main Street to Fantasyland. In fact, the parade's having to take a slightly different route because of they're repaving down there. What are your opinions on Disney parks and maintenance during park hours?
They don't go together.
They don't go together, do they?
No.
At all. Now, you see, I'm under exactly the same impression that they don't go together. But imagine my horror when we first walked into the park, and one of the first things I saw on the right-hand side was a group, two men, sanding down part of the woodwork with a big with tape around them saying wet paint on it, and they were actually painting some of the banisters on Main Street USA. Now, is it me being a proper Disney geek, or is that not the sort of thing we should be seeing during the day when the park's open?
I think you have an issue there with temperatures as well, though, don't you?
Yes.
At night, you're going to get very cold. You're going to have bubbles in your paint if you start painting it, and it's going to cause problems. So it should never happen, but they close early up. There should be some way of doing it. I just think it just sums up the park.
And also, it was hot. You know, that day was 30-odd degrees, so it wasn't exactly as if it was going to get cold during the evening. But at the same time, doesn't it not get cold in the evening in Orlando? I know we're not talking about minus degrees here, that sort of weather.
But you don't have the dampness as much as there. You've got the humidity, but you don't have the... If you paint at night, you'll notice you get water in the paint. Especially if it's oil-based, and it's ruined you back where you start from. But I'm not justifying them. I think you're right in what you're saying. Is Disneyland Paris, you know, and more what you're saying, it more and more is people coming back and going, I'm going because I need a Disney fix, but it ain't the Disney fix I really want.
I don't have a problem even if they've got construction walls up where they're doing it. That's not a problem, because we know
that's probably a better way of doing it.
They're working on it. But it was just a case of the fact that they got their ladders out, they got the paint pots out, and they were stood there with tape round them saying, don't come near, it's wet paint. And I just saw that and thought, that just really isn't Disney for me.
But that's France all over, Adam. That's the whole point why it shouldn't be there. They don't have the passion and the care for it as they do in America. You know, we all know why Magic Kingdom was designed the way it was, that those things would never be seen, and they just don't give a monkeys in France. That's why they should close it and move it to Spain. We'd love it even more in England, even with the weather.
It sounds
we'd respect it more.
They just sound like we're having a really, really good, a real go at Disney Paris. And I'm not saying I had a bad trip at all. I didn't. I had a fantastic trip. But these are just some of the things that sort of stepped out at me. Also, the other one, which I've got some photos of now, they had a crane behind the castle because they're currently building the castle, painting the castle. They're sort of using these different shades of pink as it goes up. And there were a couple of moments during the day where they were up on the crane and they were looking around top of the castle with this crane. So there's going to be people who basically got castle photos with a big crane with people on the top of it in front of it as well. And that was another thing. It was like, well, surely, hang on. I know they're having to look at the tones of the paint during the day and all that sort of stuff, and that's fine. But it was just a shame that that was sort of there as well. That's just me being really, really picky. Attraction-wise, queues were pretty good, actually. It wasn't too busy until the final Thursday when it was Ascension Day in France. And we got to the car park because we decided we'd drive in every day because we got free parking. And the queue was 12 cars deep for every single parking area. And at that point, we thought, should we really go to the parks today, or are we actually just wasting our time here? But the queues still weren't that bad in the parks itself. let me just go back to food before I start talking about the Magical Moments, because I want to briefly sort of mention all about Magical Moments Festival and what it's all about. I went down to Downtown Disney, Earl of Sandwich. Now, Earl of Sandwich, I expected, you know, thinking to myself, is it going to be as good as America? Is it not? For America's first place, we had it, all that sort of stuff. Food was really good. I was really impressed, especially as the part of the... When we arrived, we went about 6:30, and they'd only been serving since 4:00. And the food was actually pretty decent. Again, it's not cheap. We paid €29 for the three of us to have dinner. Sandwiches came at £5.50, which was about a fiver. What are they roughly in America, Craig? Do you know? Is he there?
Has you lost Craig.
Has Craig disappeared?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, we'll just carry on without them. It's fine. I can't remember what they are, how much they are in America. I remember eating them and I remember trying them, but I've completely forgotten how much they are. But I thought they were quite expensive in that sense, that they were at £5.50 plus. And believe it or not, bottles of Coke, £3.50. Just over £3 for a bottle of Coke, which I thought was really expensive again. And we try to not to eat in places like that. You know the petrol station that there is just by Santa Fe?
Well, God, yeah.
Well, we often try to go there, pick up drinks and things like that if we could, so we could take...
That's still pricey as well.
Yeah, it's not the cheapest, but it's nowhere near as bad as £3.50 for a Coke was.
But you shouldn't be like that, should you?
Is Craig back with us now?
Yes, he's
Yes, Craig's there. Hello, Craig.
Hello.
Remind us, how much is a sandwich at Earl of Sandwich in Downtown Disney? I can't remember.
Oh, what, in America?
Yeah.
About $9.
So we're looking at...
That's £6, isn't
about
it?
£6. So actually,
yeah,
it's cheaper in Disneyland Paris.
Cheaper to go and get a Subway.
It's cheaper to go and get a Subway, but it's cheaper in Disneyland Paris. It's £5.50, so it works out about £5. What was it in London?
£3.95, I think.
Oh, so it's slightly cheaper in London, but it actually works out cheaper then. We were just saying, though, that bottles of Coke, the small bottles of Coke, were £3.50, which is just over £3 for a bottle of Coke.
Should I tell you what's even more annoying about that? I know for a fact that Disney gets all its Coca-Cola products for free.
I don't know whether that does, though, because it's not Disney-owned, is it?
What, Paris?
No, yeah, well, the Earl of Sandwich. I don't know whether that's Disney.
Oh, sorry, Earl of Sandwich. Oh, well, yeah. I'm sure they stopped from the same.
But it was, yeah, £3.50 for a bottle of Coke,
stopped
which was
from
which
the
was
same.
Crazy
boat.
Money. But the actual place is really nice. They had the buzzers where you go and sit down, the buzzer goes off, you go and collect your food, and then you go and sit down with it. And it was nice and hot. I had the Hawaiian, because I quite like the Hawaiian. That was pretty good. Then there's McDonald's around the corner. Now, that is a lot cheaper. We decided one day we'd go to McDonald's for lunch. But all I will say is make sure that they've got plenty of staff on. I queued in McDonald's, and I've never been so angry in France as I was when I came out of McDonald's. There were 8 people stood in front of me in the queue in McDonald's, and it took them 35 minutes to serve me.
No.
I was so angry. I just left, and I think I sat down and very loudly went, I hope the French don't decide to do a start a revolution anytime soon, because it'll have finished before they've even started. I was so cross. It was untrue. I wouldn't go back. We did go back on the final day to see if it had improved, and it was much, much better. In fact, it was about 10 minutes with 8 people in front of me, but it was just crazy just how slow everything was in there. And it just seems that I think the way the people's money is at the moment, and the way the recession hit and everything's still recovering, I think people are heading to McDonald's because it's so much cheaper than everywhere else is, which is a shame, but there we go. Right, let's quickly go into the parks. I want to talk to you about the Magical Moments Festival. I want to see what your opinion is on all of these, because I've sort of got mixed views on them, really. Let's start off with the Disneyland Park, because they've got a series of things for the Magical Moments Festival. They've got the meet and greet with Rapunzel, which happens in Fantasyland. It's got sort of 2 locations. There's a Wonderful World of Alice and the Mad Hatter, which is basically a photo opportunity outside the Curious Labyrinth, of which you can sit and you can have the Mad Hatter's hat on. You can sit around the table and the smoke comes out of the teapot. And during the day, at certain times during the day, some of the characters from Alice in Wonderland come out, and it's the whole usual idea of... people just sort of scramble for characters. Then there's the Adventureland Rhythm of the Jungle, which is a meet and greet for characters from The Lion King and The Jungle Book. There's the Disney Princess A Royal Invitation, which is basically it's a meet and greet location for princesses. They have like a small gazebo at the moment, and different princesses come out at different times during the day. That will improve when they open the new princess meet and greet area, where the old post-show is for It's a Small World. You've got the Aladdin's Magic Lamp, which is basically that, a very small scene from Agrabah with a magic lamp and characters from Aladdin come out every now and again. You've got Share the Love with Wally and Eve, which again is supposed to be a photo opportunity, but it's just two statues that you can stand in front of, basically. And then you've got the Disney Dance Express, which is... I quite like the new soundtrack to the new Disney Dance Express. That's quite cool. It's the same train as it's been for a good few years. It just have a stop with a little bit of a dancey thing that goes on as well. You've got the Follow the Leader with Peter Pan. Now, I've got to say, I quite enjoyed this. It's outside or right next to the Chalet de la Marionette in Adventureland. And it's a show designed with Peter Pan, and it's got Smee in there and Hook, but Hook's actually a face character. The first time I've ever done it as a face character, it's really, really quite impressive. He just looked really, really good. And then you've got Mickey's Magical Celebration, which is the main show. It happens once every evening. It was on at 7 o'clock. We were there. It's basically about Mickey wanting to become magical, and he gets a load of magic characters to help him do all of that, and that's quite nice. Introduces Rapunzel quite nicely. All of these things I've got video of and will be going up on the Disney Brit website quite soon. And then the Once Upon a Dream Parade is the same parade, but it has parade stops in it now, where each of them stop and bring the kids out from the crowd and they can take part. And Harry took part in one element, which was where he was brought out by the Jungle Book characters and was given a banana maraca, and they shook that and danced around and that sort of stuff, and they were asked to come and sit down again. So most of them seem to be meet and greets, and it sounds like Craig's just fallen over his keyboard.
No, sorry, I just walked back in the room. My apologies. I had a father thing to do.
Yes. Also, let's just quickly go through the meet and greets in Walt Disney Studios, and these are less impressive, unfortunately. You've got the Green Army Men meet and play, where basically you follow the Army Men around and they play a few games with the kids. You've got the Monsters, Inc. Scream Academy, which is a meet and greet for the Monsters, Inc. You've got the Smile and Say Cheese with Remy and Emile. I couldn't find this. I don't even know whether it's up yet. And then you've got Lights, Motors, or Motors Action Stunt Show Spectacular, featuring Lightning McQueen. It's nice to see Lightning McQueen in. They put it in an area of where nothing really happens. It's where they're setting up most of the set. And they've now introduced McQueen, and he's chasing after the baddie who's got a big rocket on top of his car. And they are life-size, and they are quite cool to see, but it's a bit of a disappointing addition.
How do you meet a car? Is it just there?
No, you don't meet him.
Sitting?
You don't meet him. He literally is on stage, and you see him move around, chase the car, and then he goes off. You don't meet him at all. There's no meet and greet there at all. But they are all sort of the Magical Moments additions.
More of a hit and run.
Yeah, more of a hit and run, yeah.
I'd hotwire him, take him for a spin.
So, overall, Magical Moments Festival is quite nice, but unfortunately, most of it is just meet and greets. If you are... See, I have sort of a difficulty with it because there were some nice elements to it, but personally, if you were a regular visitor to Disneyland Paris and you were heading out for the Magical Moments Festival, just for the Magical Moments Festival, but you weren't sure whether you could afford it, don't go. I just don't think it's worth making a trip for, unfortunately. It just doesn't add enough this year for what there could be. I think, you know, the 20th is coming up next year, and I think there'll be massive things for the 20th, and these are just something to keep going for this year. But just most of it's meet and greets, and some of the queues for the meet and greets are outrageous. The Rapunzel meet and greet line was huge. She was taking her time with each kid, which is great, but it was absolutely massive. But it's a difficult one. It was nice. If you're planning on going, you've got an annual pass, you're going anyway, you'll enjoy it. But I certainly wouldn't make any sort of major effort to go and see that without paying out a lot of money, that sort of thing, really. I think that's everything we wanted to talk about with regards to the trip. Has anybody got anything else they want to ask?
Sorry?
No, what?
That's it time to go?
I think it is about time to go, yeah.
Shall we?
There you go. So that rounds up our sort of Disneyland Paris trip report. I will be putting up some posts on the website to do with Magical Moments Festival. I did video the whole of the Mickey's Magical Celebration, and I have got video of pretty much all of the different elements that are part of Magical Moments, including that little brief moment appearance with Lightning McQueen. So you can check all of those out over on our website, hopefully in the next week or so. But that's pretty much everything. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Villas. Thanks to Juz and Craig for joining me, as always.
Pleasure.
Oh, sounds like it. Make sure to email us your questions, comments and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail numbers 0121 288 2858 in the UK and Europe, and 407... Oh, Juz, you do it.
407... 07545798000.
Just one O at the end. Make sure to check out our website, Disney Browser. Okay, Disney Brit. Do you know there's some person sat there going, oh.
Nobody listens.
Make sure to check out the website, disneybrit.com, for all the latest news and rumours that you find in Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris. Check out our Facebook pages, Disney Brit fan page. You can find all the pages over on discot.net as well. And, oh, one quick thing before we go. Those of you who are DB23 members, we know you have been for some time now, and we haven't quite delivered on everything we said we would do, but now Discot is up and running properly, we are definitely going to be providing you with some extra special podcast elements, and we will be extending your membership a little bit as well, so we can get all of those elements in
for you. Did you see my idea?
Sorry?
Did you see my idea?
I didn't see your idea. What's your idea?
It was me, you and Craig doing Jordan and Peter thing and releasing them all to have a CD of us singing all the Disney classics.
That sounds absolutely terrible. You can find up myself, Chaz and Craig over on Facebook as well. Mouse Mag, you can still download from magcloud.com. The new issue will be out at the beginning of July. Thank you to those of us who leave us a review on iTunes and, of course, YouTube. We're getting a load of videos over on YouTube at the moment. You can find search for Disney Brit Podcast and you'll find all of those over there as well. Remember to listen to our radio shows on heartbeatradiousa.com Friday evenings. You've got Destination Disney and I on Orlando over there, and I think that's pretty much it, other than make sure you go to discot.net, check that out, join in if you haven't already. But our next edition of the show will be available on Wednesday the 22nd of June, and we usually end the show with me saying goodbye and Jez and Craig saying goodbye, but at the end of the music, just listen out for just listen to some of the trouble I have when it comes to recording the intro to the Disney Brit podcast.
How unfair.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to episode 69.
Are we start now or what?
Here we go.
I'm just asking. Jeez.
Yeah, we've got enough. We're ready. There's no leading or nothing, right. Is there?
No.
Very unprofessional.
Just 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1. Helen, welcome
Geronimo!
To...
Geronimo! Right, sorry. I've got to do one. It's FedEx.
3, 2. Helen, welcome to episode 69.
You can do one.
Just the one.
You didn't do one, you just went 3-2. I was waiting for one.
One's supposed to be silent. Here we go. Shut up now.
Oh, he's such a showbiz.
I am. 3, 2, 1.
I thought you were doing a silent one. Oh, Chad, a humour.
Right, let's try
started
one
tonight.
More time.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
I can keep just going, oh, I might think about it, really.
It's such an easy game, but it's...
Hello and welcome to episode 69 of the Disney...
You might have been did it away from us completely. Sorry, yeah. Were you talking then? I've got an echo, sorry.
Right, come to us.
Right,
yeah, come on, okay.
Hello and welcome.
Be the tree. I'm the tree.
Growing.
I'm a tree.
Okay. Hello, welcome to episode 69. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh.
So I thought I was being the tree, the bird was the bird.
Oh, be a tree surgeon if you carry on.
You can chop me down any time.
Oh, man, right, here we go. Let's do it properly now, shall we?
Okay, go on.